Hey Mitch, it's Ann. How are you?
Hi Ann, I'm fine, thanks. And yourself?
Joe?
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry, I couldn't reach my mute button. Who is Joe? I don't recognize Joe.
Joe Maffey?
Oh, okay.
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay. It was probably the end of Joiner and you just got cut off.
Oh. Okay, I've got Ann. Who else is on?
Mitch.
Mitch, morning.
Good morning. You know you're crackling, right?
Lord, is that better? Am I still crackling? Am I crackling or cackling?
Well, it's like a background sound, like, well, are you growing a beard?
Oh, you probably hear the typing from next door.
No, it's more scratchy sound, like you're...
It's staticky, Ron.
Oh.
Hi, Betty.
Hi.
Small bodies too, Sarn. Would that be Carol?
No, it's Rose this week.
Hi, Rose.
Hi.
I'm apparently cackling this morning. So. Anybody else? That's it?
I could cackle a little.
Cackle. Well, that's what I was going to try and figure out. I don't want to attend the meeting.
I don't want to attend the meeting either.
I'm trying to pay Todd.
Yeah, just after I signed on, like seconds after I signed on, I heard the recording has begun message.
Cool. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, Todd's here. Okay. So we have nobody. Oh, I'm not sure Lyle's going to be here. In fact, I do know. Lyle's not going to be here. We don't have Geo, no imaging yet. No imaging? No RF.
Is this a meeting week? Is this LPSC week? No, that was last week, right?
That was last week, yeah. Well, I know Gio's going to because Susie emailed me. She wants to change the agenda around slightly because she's going to attend for the first hour.
Okay.
So she wants to go over her two issues.
Well, I'm calling in from home, so I can't look at the website at the same time as we're discussing things anyway, which is, I suspect, is under the no-brainer list, since I can't. All I have is numbers. I have no descriptions for what the SCRs are.
Cool. Are you by yourself, Susie?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's get started. So the role is Susie, Todd, Mitch, Ann, Rose, Betty, me. Small group today.
Oh, good. Maybe we'll be done in no time.
Surprised Dick's not here. Okay, as I said, I got an email from Susie, and she would like us to go over her two issues first.
Well, actually, my conflict has gone away, so that's not necessary.
Oh, okay. Well, let's start with three... Anyway, because I'm sort of set for that now. So 3A is SCR 1103, version 4, which is the chapter 7. That's gone to Management Council. Well, I send my stuff to Rita, who then forwards it to Management Council vote.
Okay.
I have no idea how that's going or not, so that ends status. Does anybody have anything else they want to...
I think I happen to get the Management Council emails. I think everybody's voted yes on it so far.
Cool. Okay.
I don't get the Management Council emails because I'm not a manager. Now, why is it that everybody, is everybody else in the tech group a manager?
I don't get
them. No, I, the only reason I get them is that Ray wants me to back him up when he's not there. So my name got added. Like
well, now
Steve Joy. Steve Joy doesn't get them, even though he probably should.
That would have been my guess. But now I'm deeply jealous, and I'm going to treat you snottily for no readily apparent reason.
Hey, Dick.
No changes, Dick. Everything's going to be status quo.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, that's good. I'm glad to know that I'm still on equal terms with you.
So, Dick, we were just on 3A on my agenda, which went to Management Council for vote, and... Todd just said, so far it's all yes, so that's good news.
See, Dick's a manager. He might actually know.
Dick would probably know that as well.
Actually, I don't. I'm surprised that Todd does.
Yeah, we had that. You missed that one. So moving on to 3B.
He's already been abused for that, Dick.
That's right, yes. 3B 1104 version 2, we got a new version from Anne, and I have posted that version. Hopefully y'all have perused and read, and are there any issues we need to talk about on 1104, the second version?
I haven't read it yet, so I don't have any comments.
Oh, okay. Has anybody read it other than Anne?
I thought I read it.
Okay.
But I'd have to look at it again to know what I thought when I read it.
It's substantially longer than the first version, and it includes quotes from the current standards and replacement text so that we don't have to pass chapters back and forth 16 times for people to read 30 words from each chapter and have to decide whether or not it's great.
Okay. So, so I think then we'll postpone a discussion of this until the next Telecon? Sound fair?
I can just say there was a discussion. There wasn't any comment. Therefore, it passed. That's something you can check off.
Well, okay.
No.
So do we want to have a motion to vote on it?
No, I didn't say that. I was being facetious.
We could have an email vote this week, though.
Okay.
What's the pressing need for that? You just want to get it
off the list.
Tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, MRO. I mean, there's always something in the background, right? I agree with you, Mitch. Have an email vote by middle of next week. Does that sound right?
Middle of next week is Management Council.
Yep. End of next week?
Management Council goes Wednesday, Thursday.
Ah,
yeah.
2 weeks?
Well, you can do it middle of next week. I'm just saying that for people like me, that deadline is sort of meaningless.
Okay.
I would have to vote earlier, but that's not negative necessarily.
Well, I like earlier. Okay. I'm going to try for middle of next week.
Okay. Rose, you need to read it over and make sure there's nothing in there that's going to cause problems for anything at PSI, like the Olaf system.
It may not even work for Lyle. I think he's on vacation, but I'm going to give it a try. So an email vote by middle of next week.
Yeah, if you don't get a quorum, then you just extend the deadline, you know?
See, like that one. Anything else on B? Moving to C, 1064 version 3. I got the comments from ANRAL. We collectively incorporated those comments into a version 4, which has gone off to Rita for a Management Council vote. This is where we turn it over to Todd. Who knows how that voting is going?
I think Dick had some reservations on making the length really long.
Oh, okay.
In terms of readability, but
yeah, Mike mentioned that too. Mike mentioned it with respect to, well, how do you deal with line break characters in the middle of a name field? And I know that Deep Impact has produced some annoyingly long data set names, and I think there are some actual rules stated somewhere in the probably ODL chapter about what you do to join lines in long text fields. What I don't know is whether or not there's anything specific to the name class word, and the additional complication is that you don't probably want to apply the same rules to the name class word as you do to the description class word, or maybe you do. And I think that ODL actually does. So we've dealt with it for years in the past. There are longer names, names that exceed a line limit, and have name breaks in the middle of them. So it's not like we're introducing a new problem.
Gotcha. Okay. Anything else on C?
I also had a comment. There's a request in the SCR to edit the note in section 8.3. It struck me that the editing that was requested was sort of subjective. It doesn't really change the meaning. But there's actually a mistake in the example above because the trailing slash is not included in the examples. And the note actually says that the trailing slash has to be part of the value.
Actually, not in the version that I read, which is why I changed it from a the reason that I changed it from a note to in the above examples is because I wanted to use the word note, and having two notes in a row is sloppy.
Okay. Well, anyway,
it's really a technical editing reason for changing the preceding thing. But I didn't see a problem with the reference to the preceding changes. I thought that the note said that the leading slash in the examples
is omitted
because it's assumed it's going to be appended to whatever the logical volume path is.
I'm not sure that's what mine says, but I agree that the leading slash is omitted, but the next sentence says the trailing slash must be included, and there's no trailing slash in the examples above.
Okay, I'm misremembering what I read then.
Now, it could be we have different versions of the standards reference, which has come up before.
Yeah, I pulled mine down from the website to work from, and I don't have that on this computer.
So, Dick, you're talking about, it says in the PDF standards reference section 8.3, recommend changing the beginning of the paragraph following the examples from note, colon, the leading slash, to in the above example, the leading slash. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. Now, that part's okay. I don't care whether it says note or not, but if you read the second sentence, it says the trailing slash is required. And the examples do not show a trailing slash. So the examples are wrong.
There is no second sentence in mine.
Okay. Let me see where we are here.
Recommend, the next bullet, or the next is, recommend adding the following paragraph to the end of the section.
He's talking about in the actual chapter 8 itself, Ron, not in the SPR.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay, in the actual, the trailing slash is included so that concatenation of island will yield the full file specification.
Yeah, and as you'll notice, the examples do not show a trailing slash.
And I don't think we ever put a trailing slash following those. I could be wrong, though.
But if you look at the wording
before
the examples, it says the following are examples of valid values.
I'm agreeing.
If they don't have this trailing slash, they're not valid.
I'm agreeing with you.
So we should fix that.
Yeah.
But is that another SCR?
That's another SCR.
Yeah.
I'm willing to do it that way.
Okay. That was kind of what my question was going to be, because since we sent this to Management Council, Management Council, it may, like Dick, when he went to review things, noticed that the standards have another problem that need to be fixed, but it's independent of the increasing of the path length.
There's a lot of wool sweater problems with the standards if you go looking at specific things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Dick, you're going to write that SCR?
Okay.
You don't have to. I'm just asking.
No, I brought it up.
Okay. Cool. Are we done with C? Oh, Todd, you were going to tell us how the voting is going. Is it?
No, I'm not. I decided I'd probably opened my mouth and shouldn't have.
Okay. Okay.
I think I've seen two yes votes, but I don't see all the votes.
Oh, okay.
I see Mike's votes, so that doesn't help.
I think Imaging also voted yes.
Cool.
And I don't think PPI's voted yet, but anyway.
I'm still on the fence. It's this big question. It has nothing to do with this SCR in particular, but but having 200 character columns is just kind of overwhelming.
Okay, so moving on to 1105, version 2. Again, sent to Rita Beebe for Management Council vote. I won't even ask. And then, for some reason, there's no E. Moving right to F. 1083, version 3. We have a new version from Susie, and it's been posted. Has anybody had a chance to review Susie's new work?
I just downloaded it this morning, and I had a telecon at 10, so I haven't had a chance to actually read it.
Okay, so put that, shall we do it at the same time, do an email vote by mid of next week? That was Mitch's voice, right, Mitch?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, that was silence. I take silence as, yeah, Ron, that's a great idea.
Well, I hate to say yes when I haven't even read it, but we have talked about this before.
Is the current version version 2?
Version 3.
Ah, I don't have a copy of version 3.
Yeah, V3. What's different between version 2 and version 3?
Version 2 had applied changes to just about every keyword that had the word product in it.
Oh, and this...
Version 3, we took that out and limited it only to this keyword, source product ID.
Oh. So
basically went back to where it was before.
Yeah. So actually, Todd, because you were the one that brought up that we should add all those keywords, and you weren't on the last telecon, I don't think.
Yeah, that one I missed. Cause
yeah. We went back a version.
That's fine, because I think maybe source product ID might be unique. It's not, the product ID there isn't necessarily the PDS product ID.
Right.
And
yeah.
And that's why I think we're treating it uniquely.
Cool. Okay.
I mean, that's what I understood from the telecom before the last telecom. It's the way Susie presented the project's use of it, because they're using non-standard product IDs. Or non-archive defined or whatever.
As far as product ID goes, though, I don't think we have any restriction on the length of product ID. We have restriction on length of file names, but the product ID doesn't have to be the file name. So, in theory, PDS product IDs could also be quite long.
I thought they were 40 characters or something.
Yeah,
well, that's probably the limit that's set in the standard or in the data dictionary, but it's not something that's set by any ISO requirement.
Now, the particular problem with product ID is that that's involved in the interface with the ADS. So we told them that it was a specific length, and nobody has asked them if changing the length would affect their database and the ingest system.
But this is source product ID, which is...
Right, exactly. Source product ID, not a problem. Product ID was the problem.
Yeah, and we should remember that.
Cool. Okay. Anything else on... I forgot the number. Yes.
F.
Thank you. F.
That
okay.
Could be a letter. That's very good, Dick. Are you getting psychic?
No. I just have the agenda in front of me.
Okay, that would take us to Betty's new SDR that we've all been waiting with bated breath to discuss, I'm sure.
No, I'm sure.
Okay. Take it away, Betty.
Okay. Well, I just checked our blog site. I don't see that anybody has added anything since 2006, so... I don't know if anyone has had a chance to read it besides those of us who have been involved with it.
Well, I downloaded a version this morning that has two revision dates of 2/27 and one with your name and one with Dick Simpson's name, and
right.
That's the last revisions that I have noted.
That's
so
it.
I have the current version? Okay.
Yes.
No, I haven't read it, but I have it in front of me now.
Well, that's, you know, one step in the right direction.
If we had 10 minutes of silence.
It's kind of long. About a lot of it is just showing what changes would be made in the standards document in the data dictionary. As you all may recall, we were directed by Management Council to remove archive status from the data set information object and also to see if we could find ways to streamline the values for it, because currently there are 9 different standard value options, and then with the accumulating tag, you can come up with 18 different options. So Ron and Dick and I worked on this together, but Steve Hughes also. And we've cut back on the number of, first we put archive status in the housekeeping object, okay, and in the release object. And we cut back on the number of standard values. If you skipped ahead to about page 5, you'll see the new definition of archive status. So now we have 4 options for the standard values, which are actually 5. In review, archived, superseded, safe, or not applicable.
There's actually one other that we need. It's a small bodies note.
Okay.
Withdrawn.
This is
data sets that were withdrawn completely from the archive.
Ah.
And not superseded.
Not superseded.
Because we discovered in subsequent reviews that the data had, according to the judgment of several reviewers, no scientific value, and keeping them in the archive was merely asking for trouble. It doesn't happen very often. It was very early on, and our reviewers have gotten much better and much more thorough. So we don't expect it to happen again,
mm-hmm.
but there are a couple.
You know, that's interesting because there are, for PPI, there are some dataset IDs that somehow got into the catalog that never had a dataset.
Yeah, we've had a couple like those too, and we tried to withdraw them. We tried to get them removed from the catalog, purged from the catalog
for
years. And I kept hearing, yeah, okay, we'll do that, and it never actually happened.
Yeah, we have the same problem.
And giving them a status of withdrawn with maybe a note that this is just an incorrect dataset ID would be a satisfactory solution if you just don't ever want to delete anything once it's made it into the catalog.
Right, even if it made it in erroneously, it seems. Right, and that's why I was bringing it up, is that if we could just mark those as withdrawn, that would solve our problem.
In what case would not applicable ever be applicable?
That's a good
point. I can't
think
of one, but there must be a reason why it's in the set.
I think that was for data sets which had been imagined, but nothing had ever been turned in.
Why would you have catalog files for those?
Well, I don't know.
Well, that's kind of what our
my
data set problem.
It's catalog file anyway, is it? It's being moved out of the catalog file into the housekeeping.
Right, but right? Housekeeping sort of status information.
That's right.
You know, attributes of it that.
So why would you add housekeeping? Oh, not applicable would be the appropriate thing, I guess, if you were submitting a housekeeping object in order to track an interface rather than a data set. Is that why it's there?
I think this was your suggestion, Dick, and it seemed to me it was for before we'd actually received any data, so there's no data in review, but the data set is planned, which can be the case when we're, you know, we ingest the catalog files before we've received any data.
Yeah, that's my recollection. I'm trying to bring up the SCR myself.
Yeah, there were other values in here that were useful if you when the data set catalog was being envisioned as a method for tracking the development of the data set. That's where the pre-peer review and in-lean resolution and things like that that are useful to the nodes. If you're moving it out of the catalog file and into the housekeeping object, I'm wondering what the thinking then is on tracking data set development in the central catalog, because it sounds like that's not going to happen.
It's to reserve a data set ID.
Yeah, but just because I've reserved a data set ID, like, for example, in 3 weeks' time, allegedly, I'm going to be able to reserve every last one of the New Horizons data set IDs. But they're not in review. They don't exist yet. And not applicable seems to imply something that I don't understand.
Right. So I agree that I don't think not applicable is there, but I think, as Dick pointed out, if it's planned, you know, maybe there should be a status of inception or planned or something like that that represents that it's a reserved.
Yeah. We used to have those. They've all been removed.
Right.
You know what? I'm thinking maybe I need to read the entire thing in order to understand what's going on at the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds like maybe reserved and withdrawn should also be states or statuses.
Well, we could do it that way. My thought as we were going through this was to make it a little bit more useful for tracking, but I'm never sure that engineering node really signed on to that. We do have a new keyword called delivery status, which provides some information kind of in a different dimension on where these things are. But I agree that withdrawn would probably be a useful addition. But I would like something to cover the case where we've got a data set that's coming along, but nothing's actually been submitted yet, so it can't be in review.
You know what, that might be not applicable, but you need to add it to the list. You need to say something other than, in the definition of not applicable, not applicable at this time to this data set, because that's sort of a, you know, duh. At what point not applicable needs to indicate when a data set status is not applicable.
Because right.
Existentially speaking, if you've got something that you're filing information on, then its status ought to be applicable. It ought to be definable. So even if you just set NA, is this the general catch-all for data sets that are planned or still in the early stages of development? You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, but it might be better to come up with a word that actually tells you what that is.
Well, at SVN we use in development, because that's what they are until we're ready to review them. And we also have, we use a number of data set statuses that aren't in the official data set status for tracking on our web pages, for internal tracking. So, for example, when we have a data set in hand and we're actually working on it, it's in development. If we have a data set in hand and we're not actively working on it, we have it listed as on hold. And then we actually do use the in review, lean resolution. We use those statuses locally. I'm not sure that they have a usefulness at the level of the central catalog, depending on what level of detail you want for data set tracking in the central catalog. And secondly, how much effort it's going to take me to update that status when things change.
Yeah, that was a concern, because this also goes into the release object.
Right, and the release object I've never used, and it looks like I never will use, because it doesn't seem to be applicable to any of the sort of releases that we would like to announce, which is another issue, which is it appears to be completely disjoint from this one, but if they ever do start to accommodate the sort of data sets that we deal with, it'll end up coming back and being relevant, perhaps. But I get the feeling that I'm starting a discussion that presumably the working group has already had again, and that maybe I should just shut up and read the whole thing. Are there answers to what I'm talking about if I just sit down and read the whole thing?
I'm not sure, because I haven't read it for a couple of months myself, and a lot of our discussions actually didn't end up in the SCR. We just came to conclusions and wrote down what the conclusion was without saying a whole lot about the rationale.
Well, a lot of this was all the complaints that I made when archive status snuck into the data set catalog object years ago. Was it 3 or 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
Yeah, I had a lot of complaints, and I refused to comply, so I'm on the working group now.
Yeah. So in general, when I gave it a very quick read through the first time it came up, I thought, oh, yeah, I think there's probably a pretty good chance I agree with this. Now that I'm thinking about it, without quite so much pain relievers in my system, I'm wondering what is actually the point that's trying to be achieved. I see background. I don't see a statement of a specific problem to be addressed, and I don't see a statement of a specific enhancement that is being sought to the system. And that's kind of like what I need to start in order to evaluate the situation. I need to know. I don't disagree with the fact that this annoying keyword needs to get the hell out of the dataset catalog object. What I wonder is, what is the utility that we're looking to achieve ultimately? So it sounds like the housekeeping object is the right place to put it. I can't say anything about the dataset release object for reasons I've just said, so you know, I have to go with you on that one. But ultimately, what are we trying to do? And then I can read this over and say, yeah, this is going in the right direction, or no, this seems to be wandering from the point at this place.
See, in some ways I think some aspects of this might be a little premature, in the sense that there's a tracking working group trying to work up requirements for tracking deliveries and tracking the archive.
Have they produced anything yet in terms of thoughts?
There's going to be a summary next week presented to Management Council. We're hoping to get something out before then, but we're still refining the recommendation. So it's probably going to be, you know, in a couple of weeks there'll be a recommendation sort of circulated to everyone. And there the sort of like delivery status are different. It's a different list than what mm-hmm. is in this SCR.
Yes, I understand separating those two concepts. I like that. That makes
right.
a lot of sense to me.
And archive status is probably more in line with this SCR.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we're trying to deal with both delivery status and archive status in one SCR, maybe we should wait until we get a look at the requirements.
Well, when we were all looking at delivery status, I'm surprised that you're saying that the values are different,
mm-hmm.
because Betty and I worked with Steve And I was of the opinion that he was right in line with what we were proposing.
That particular area has evolved a lot over the last month.
Mm.
And with delivery status, you have things things like single pending, single delivered, multiple. I mean, those don't relate. They're things like accepted, rejected, accumulating kind of thing, and then there's percentages of completeness, that type of thing.
Well, there's actually two different concepts rolled up in what in the list
right.
you just gave. For example, there's the type of data set in the sense of is it a single delivery, is it accumulating, or is it versioning, and then the status of the current release, whatever that's going to be, whether it's additional data to an accumulating data set, some final delivery of a one-time data set, or the delivery of a new version of an existing data.
Right, but the type of deliveries that take place
mm-hmm.
are actually in the plan, basically the delivery plan type thing. Another, that is that the tracking system, you will say, okay, these are the times that I'll take deliveries or scheduled or planned deliveries, and whether it's a single or multiple or, you know, how incremental it is sort of detailed in a plan.
This sounds like something that's set up for a mission delivering a large number of data sets over time.
Well, we're also considering single delivery type things in the sense of like small body type thing where they might take just a single handoff, you know.
Yeah, that's generally
that
what we do, but we do it, I mean, it's not something that fits into the terminology that you just used in any practical sense.
Right, and that's that particular issue is why we didn't have something ready before this week, because we're trying to resolve that. Mitch is sort of presenting that case, I guess, to the working group.
Okay, and I don't know what difference it makes to Rings, for example, and the way they collect their data.
Yeah, what happened, Ann, is we've taken some of the Voyager data and made new volumes, different volumes, by calibrating the data.
Right.
And there's no mechanism for us to enter that and ultimately get it into the notification system.
Yeah.
So
well,
we run into the same problems that you guys have with multiple, lots of data sets that are one-offs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I became very much aware of that when you, Mike, and I were trying to deal with how to handle the New Horizons DAP. And so
yeah.
I've been speaking in your absence in behalf of small bodies as well as Rings on this.
Good. And let's see, who else is the other odd node? Atmospheres, does this cause any problems for atmospheres? Does it? I don't know what their data set delivery systems are like. They usually mostly use big mission delivery pipeline?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
And they're not represented, and Lyle's not here today, so they're going to take whatever I do to them.
And you know, the working group is trying to shape the requirements so that for that type of scenario, or use case where you have this sort of one-off thing, that the function or what you need to sort of do the tracking is very low burden on that type of thing. You shouldn't have to go through lots of hoops to do a single delivery. It should be almost as simple as just making a single entry somewhere, and then it, you know, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, there is grouping, but it's not by mission. We do a review where we have one or two dozen data sets that we review, and they're typically all prepared and delivered at the same time, and it would be nice to send out a single announcement that says, we've done an update to the Small Bodies Archives, and here are the new data sets that you can find.
That's exactly the point Mitch was making.
Yeah, exactly. That's the sort of thing that we'd like to be able to do.
Change the notification system so that it isn't driven solely by data sets, so that what you could do is tick a box and it would notify anybody who had subscribed for comet data.
Exactly.
So that all the asteroid people won't hear it when you put up a new comet data set.
Exactly.
People could subscribe by data class. They wouldn't be allowed to subscribe by a specific comet or a specific asteroid, but they could be notified whenever a comet data in general was posted.
Yeah. Well, generally, and because of the way we set up our data set catalog files, if someone is interested in a big target for a mission like Borelli or Temple 1, they can actually subscribe to mission data sets, and that would solve that problem.
We'll keep the – people can subscribe to data sets and to fragments of data sets almost. Cassini, you can subscribe to the mission, or you can subscribe to individual instruments. We keep all of that, but what we're going to do – what I want to see is put in – are some generic target, basically, options or anything else we can think of that people might want to subscribe to. And I would think that, you know, I want people to be able to subscribe to ring data.
Yeah. Actually, Mitch, there are several cases that come up once or twice a decade. We've had a busy decade, the past decade, where people would want to subscribe to a specific comet that's not a target of emission. And these would be comets like Shakutaki, Hale-Bopp, and what the hell is the name of the comet that's lighting up the southern sky right now?
Yeah, and I don't see a problem with that, so long as we don't get to... I mean, what we run into...
It wouldn't be a million. It would be one every couple of years, and it would have a limited lifetime, and then it would go away, basically, as a subject of interest.
Yeah, I think the real issue is they don't want to be able to allow people to subscribe to individual asteroids.
Yeah, that doesn't happen a lot. There's a mission that goes to an asteroid, but asteroids are not generally so spectacular that that you have major observatories planning on the Earth. Observing campaigns that people would want to subscribe to.
Yes, and I think if we're sensible, and basically what we'll try to do, what I'm proposing is that the notification system be expanded mm-hmm. and that the tracking system be integrated with the expanded notification systems. We get into a chicken and egg game at the moment.
Yeah.
But the idea behind the expansion was then the discipline nodes would say, these are categories I want people to be able to subscribe to. I want a checkbox, so when I submit a data set, I can tick off that it's in that this group needs to be notified.
Oh, actually, you know, there was an asteroid like that, but it's also a comet, so we can get around it.
Oh, no, we've got a mission going to asteroids, and so...
No, there was an asteroid that had a ground-based observing campaign.
Ah.
That asteroid also had comet properties, which was why it was so very interesting and had a ground-based observing campaign.
Yeah. And again, what we want to do is have the flexibility so the discipline nodes can make some reasonable additions to the notification categories.
Mm-hmm.
That's my plan.
But now we've gotten very far afield, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
Right. I have a question for Todd regarding the tracking working group. Is the intention that the categories or whatever method you come up for keeping track will be keywords that will go into the central catalog with each data set, or is that going to be a separate database somewhere?
Sorry, did we bore you to death when we started talking about comets and asteroids?
Who's that?
Got very quiet.
Oh, I was distracted, sorry.
I'm sorry. Did you hear my question? Or am I...
Hello, Todd.
Yeah, I'm here.
The question was for you.
Oh, I missed the question. I was distracted.
Oh. Okay.
Can you repeat it? I'm sorry.
Yes. As far as the tracking working group plans are concerned, are they envisioning a separate database that will keep this information, or are they envisioning keywords that will be added to the central catalog?
It's framed more as a subsystem, so I it's not clear whether they're envisioning. It's not clear at this point. What the appropriate level of, say, integration with the catalog, for example, would be for doing this type of tracking. So I would say it's somewhat up in the air.
Mm-hmm. So one of the problems we had in working with this SDR is, you know, what is the purpose of this keyword? Is it for the end user to know what the status of the data is, or are we also trying to do some internal tracking with it? It's kind of a...
Well, that was kind of why I was raising the point, is because I think this complements or is a potential implementation of the requirements that we need to do delivery tracking. And it would be a nice place to be consistent, you know, to what, you know, in meeting those requirements that are being laid out.
Definitely.
And since it's still a little fluid about what the states are that want to be tracked in terms of you know, what kind of, you know, when a delivery comes in, what kind of states will it go through, we would probably end up revisiting this once the requirements get approved.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the reasons we were pushing ahead with this was that We were told, I was told, the urgency came from Management Council to get this keyword taken out of the data set information object. And it was put on, I forget what the SCR status is, but whatever the equivalent of urgent is. So if it's not that urgent, then we want to table it for a while or
Well, I guess from our standpoint it is, because Ed Grazak has it on his radar and asked Dan, and then it flows from there, right? Grazak asked Dan what's the status, what progress has been made. Dan flows it down. So I don't know how it got on Management Council's radar. I don't know if they were bored one day.
It does seem like an odd topic for the Management Council to be discussing, doesn't it?
Well, we all said that here, but the point is it's on Grazak's radar, and he's like a little bulldog.
Yes, yeah, he doesn't forget things.
So
it's a blessing and a curse.
So, I mean, that was, why?
It was probably me making an offhand comment at the wrong time.
That's why you're on this working group, and the next iteration is yours.
Okay. So, Dick, can I give you a list of others to make an offhand comment that are really important?
I think the question is, which bee exactly is that's in Ed's bonnet? Because if it's the fact that it exists in the dataset catalog object, that is actually easy to pull. We can always pull it. If it's the fact that it needs to be put someplace else, then it sounds like the someplace else is not entirely clear. Certainly it could be in the release object, which doesn't seem to be under a heck of a lot of configuration control.
It's already in the release object.
And it could be in the housekeeping object. I don't have a complaint about that. In fact, it kind of seems appropriate to me. And the housekeeping object has its own issues with not actually being compliant with its own definition in the data dictionary. So what the hell, we might as well fix both at the same time. And those are sort of easy to do without changing the actual definition of the keyword. And if it makes sense to do that quickly so that the Management Council can stop thinking about it and the working groups that have the longer-term view can start thinking about it, maybe that's not a bad idea.
We could do that. I think the Management Council concern was that it was in the data set catalog object.
Right.
But the whole concept of an archive status keyword, I think, came from Central Node. And so rather than just wipe it off the books, the initiative at this level was to get it out of the data set catalog object, but see whether we could preserve the function.
Yeah.
And that's a broader assignment than what Management Council is actually after. But if there is this other working group, maybe what we should do is tidy up the SCR that we've got so we put things like withdrawn and maybe restate the goals and the question that we're trying to solve up front, and then put the whole thing aside until this tracking working group has moved a little bit forward. I don't see any point in pushing this one through if the tracking working group is going to come up with something that's not consistent in a few months.
Since archive status is in the release object, can we just pull it out of the catalog object? And
a lot of data sets don't use the release object, so it wouldn't be in anywhere then unless we put it in the housekeeping object.
Exactly. I would be delighted to see an SCR that said, please delete the housekeeping object or the archive status keyword from the dataset catalog object and insert it into the dataset release object and insert it into the housekeeping object.
Yeah, but then you've got to kind of define what goes into the housekeeping object, and that's where we are.
Well, the housekeeping object already has a definition, and it has one other problem in that definition that I've been told several times in the past 3 years was going to be fixed.
What's that?
And never quite has either. The problem is that the housekeeping object that EN can actually ingest has a different keyword in it than the definition of the housekeeping object that's in the data dictionary.
Oh, yeah, that's the description?
Exactly.
We can work around that.
So I would be delighted to write an SCR to fix both those things at the same time without actually screwing around with the current definition of archive status, if that seems like a reasonable thing to do. And then changing the definition of archive status can be done in conjunction with the longer-term planning for tracking.
That would be okay with me.
Fine with me.
If that makes Ed Grazek happy.
Yeah, I think that takes care of the Management Council.
Didn't they also want us to streamline it, though? I thought that was part of the...
Well, things like accumulating. Some of the states they didn't think made sense in today's PDS.
Mm-hmm. We can try writing an SCR to include separating the data set status or whatever the concept is. And I'm not looking at the SCR at the moment, sorry. From the data set status whole, sort of delivery status and data set status, in the housekeeping object, since presumably when you update the housekeeping object, you would be updating it for reasons like that. The fact that the status has changed, maybe a pointer has changed, that sort of thing. So we could try to do that all at once. Makes it a little more complicated. But once again, if it gets the Management Council reasonably satisfied about something and sends the work back to the technical groups that are taking the broader view, that's probably not a bad thing. And the housekeeping object is completely internal to PDS. So we know that anything we do there is only going to affect interfaces amongst ourselves and not any other group that we might be working with.
Would you
feel like that's more flexible than things like data set catalog, which actually is visible to outside interface.
Would you be willing to write an SCR that says that we take archive status out of the data set catalog object and then reassign the current effort to this tracking working group?
Sure.
Because we've done some thinking about this. We've got some recommendations. But I think that would take care of both the data set catalog object and the streamlining question.
Okay.
And it goes off the Management Council radar.
Let me write this down specifically so they don't screw it up. So the SCR needs to include, first point, remove archive status from data set catalog file.
Or it's data set information or something like that.
Right, the appropriate object. And bear in mind, that's going to have impact.
And the second part is simply to reassign the current work done by the current efforts of the working group on archive status to the tracking, whatever it is.
What's the name of that other working group, Todd, do you know?
Yeah, one sec. I'll give you the official name.
Thank you.
I guess
you can email it to me if you like.
Well, it's the PDS tracking. We're working on tracking requirements. So it's the tracking requirements working group.
Is this a subset of the data integrity working group?
No. It's sort of a separate effort.
Okay.
Yeah, but I thought it did spin off from the data integrity, didn't it?
It did in the sense, yeah, in one sense it did. It was...
And in fact, Todd, I'm thinking that at some point in the not-too-distant future, we need to dissolve the tracking working group, which is working on requirements, and get a tech group that works on the combination of tracking, housekeeping, and notification service.
Right. Yeah, and
integration group going.
Right. I think what the transition is going to be is once Management Council approves the requirements, you know, we work up the requirements, then when we start the sort of design portion of implementing those requirements, that's when a different working group would form to kind of spec out the design.
Yeah.
And that would include things like defining what are the, well, defining how it's implemented. Do we put it in a delivery status keyword? Do we do something different? You know, how do we do that? And I think that's when that would get considered.
Yeah.
Okay. So am I writing down that we want to turn the current results of the Archive Status Working Group over to the PDS Tracking Requirements Group for incorporation into their discussions and dissolve the Archive Status Working Group?
I think it's more that this effort needs to be picked up when the tracking requirements, when the design takes place for meeting the tracking requirements.
Yeah, but I think we should actually pass it on to the existing group, and then it's their responsibility to pass it on to the next group. Otherwise, it just kind of gets put on the shelf and gets lost.
That's fine.
Okay, so I'll submit the current results, the final report. Are you going to call it a final report? Or just
yeah, we could do that. Betty and I and Steve and Ron should do the final editing, but we should pass it on to whoever's in charge of that working group.
Which is Steve.
Oh, okay.
So are we Ann, are you going to take the current are we creating a totally new SCR, or are we going to keep...
I will create a new SCR.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of good material in the one we've written that you could...
Reference?
Yeah, that's what we're passing.
From.
That's
yeah.
what we're passing on to Steve. But the four of us should take one final cut at what we've got and then pass it on to Steve.
Okay. And do we want to say anything about the housekeeping object in this SCR?
I think that should be left up to the tracking people.
Okay.
We could, as far as correcting that one keyword in the SCR, in the housekeeping object, do we need I guess we could do a quick SCR for that. It's just somebody, when they wrote it, used description as opposed to resource description or vice versa.
Exactly.
And it's something stupid like that.
So it means that if I try to run LV tool, a validator, on my
mm-hmm.
housekeeping files, it fails.
Mm-hmm.
But if I send them to EN, ingest fails. And
right.
so it's been apparently this tug of war between getting the ingest people to find someone who can modify their ingest software
or
versus
just
changing the data dictionary.
Just do what I do and change the keyword so it'll ingest.
Well,
it
exactly.
I
have
right
a program
anywhere.
that I wrote specifically to generate them so that I never have to run them through a validator again. Because the validator won't give you the right answer.
Yeah.
But that's a new SCR, too.
That's a new SCR, too. If it's, and if I'm in a pissy enough mood, I may actually write it.
Once you finish the first, the second will be easy.
Well, it's actually not easy to do from home because it means I have to look at the data set dictionary and the current housekeeping files, and they're in completely different places. So it involves turning on one computer and hooking it up to the Internet and downloading some stuff, and it's actually kind of annoying to do.
But that'll put you in exactly the right mood.
There you go.
Okay, so
alrighty.
Did we beat this one to death?
Yeah, I don't know what status you end up with for this one, though. I don't know what status options you have for this particular SCR.
What, are you going to write a version 2?
No, I'm going to write a new SCR.
Betty and you and I and Steve will write another version of this SCR, and it will go into some new status. But since we don't have a standards process yet, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Do we have an in-the-crack status or a down-the-bit-bucket status?
This is the pass-the-bucket, or pass-the-buck status.
And you're convinced that the tracking working group is going to address all the issues that are in this SCR?
If they follow through. Sounds like exactly what they're doing.
I don't know. I'm not part of the group. Okay.
It is a part. It is a part. I mean, we're trying to define what statuses things will have. So it relates to it completely.
Okay, but I guess I'm asking, is this SCR in its entirety subsumed by what the tracking people are doing?
Well, you know, the tracking group is full of some really good, smart people, including Ed Guinness, who's been eavesdropping on this conversation for about 10 minutes.
Ah.
So we'll ask him.
Well, and the other possibility is that some of the things that we try to do to this SCR would, in fact, be stepping on the toes of the tracking group, and they would ultimately have to modify them in some way anyway.
Mm.
Like Ron says, Steve Pughes has been involved with this group, so I'm kind of surprised that there'd be that kind of disconnect, but whatever.
This is PDS.
Okay. Okay, I'm not surprised.
Well, they can always resurrect the SCR. There's a new status for you, Ron, resurrected, and send it back and say, okay, here's a technical issue we need to get buy-in on, and that's fine. Because at that point, I would suspect that they would add some additional information about what the point is and what the final goal is.
Ed, did you want to say something?
No, I don't think so.
See, you really are smart. Okay, so have we now beat it to death? We have a plan? Sounds like we have a plan.
Tell you what, I'll take a cut
mm-hmm.
at tidying up the existing SCR and ship it off to our little working group.
Great.
That way we've got this part done.
Okay. So, okay, so although it's not on the agenda, I got an email while we were talking from Rita on 1103 saying that, in fact, it did pass, but there were, interestingly enough, there's some issues that were brought up that I think we're going to have to address.
Tell them to file an SCR. It's good for them.
Yeah, I don't think they do SCRs. I think they give it to us, and we do SCRs. But,
okay.
But I would be happy to email that back to Rita with your name on it.
Sure.
just forward her the SCR form.
And yeah, right. I was going to say I like my job, but that would not be a true statement.
Yeah.
So.
Well, if you don't like your job, file an SCR.
File an SCR.
Actually,
they like the paychecks, which is not quite the same thing, but is equally understandable.
So I think we'll hold this for next time, but there are some issues, including from Chuck and Ray Arvidson.
Actually, I think it was from Ed. It would be handy if people with comments like that could actually put them in the blog. I tend to just throw away emails that report on votes. So all the comments from Chuck anyway, I don't think I still have. I still have Ed's, but
they're in Rita's email.
I understand, but I probably wouldn't keep that either.
Okay.
So if there's an intention that comments like this be preserved for another round, even after MC votes positively, it would still help if they went into the blog.
Well, I can add them to the blog in the name of these people.
Yeah, that would do the job, and then at least they're in the record.
Unless, Ed, you would like to do your own.
But no, that's fine, Ron. You could do it.
Well, but once again, technical people like me don't see the Management Council votes, so we would never see these comments unless they were posted someplace where the technical group could see them. Now, the SCR process is open to everybody, so the Management Council is perfectly capable of telling us everything they want to through an SCR, and the blog is open. They can post on the blog. But we don't have ready access to their internal documentation.
And you'll be happy to know that the Management Council, in the form of Rita, is aware of the problem, and actually, before I brought it up, had already started working on trying to get something a little bit more open or selectively closed.
Okay.
That would give people like you who don't have current privy to the Management Council webpage access to the stuff you need access to.
Yeah, I can see like meeting announcements, but I can't see meeting notes. And
yeah.
Believe you me, I do not want to have to read every bit of crap the Management Council discusses. This is not my goal. But if they're talking about things that they want us to do, they need to let us know. And they need to realize that it is no longer true that all the technical people are at all the Management Council meetings and know things automatically.
Yeah, like I say, I brought it up to Rita, and she was already aware of it.
Good.
And she's working to try to get something, I think she's working with Dan, actually, to try to get some links between the two pages, the one that they maintain for the Management Council at New Mexico and the one here, and being selective about what's open to the world, what's open to all of PDS, and really selective about what has to be restricted just to the Management Council.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Ed, you were starting to say something? No?
The
smart guy, remember?
Only that, I mean, it makes sense if Rita's sending you this information, Ron, that you could put it on the blob and that takes care of the problem.
Cool, yeah. I'm sure that's what she intended, so. Okay, shall we move to Todd King's list of second round of no-brainers?
I have not been able to locate this list. Where is it?
It was in an email from Todd dated February 28th.
Thanks, I'll go look again.
Yeah.
I have the list, but all I have is numbers, which tells me nothing, and I can't get to the website to see what the numbers mean.
Actually, I was more interested in sort of the group's opinion on how we should handle this big long list. I mean, it's sort of overwhelming. First off, thank you, Todd, for generating the big overwhelming list.
We have, you see the list. I mean, we have 53 things that have been submitted and not acted on.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a big list. It'd be nice to whittle it down.
Yeah, okay. I see you've also included, like, the one-line summary of what the SCR was, so I can work with this. Take me a little time to find the numbers, but I can work with this. So where would you like to start?
Well, it's sort of interesting because I just started with withdraw, and that's about as far as I've sort of gotten. But I was looking at the ones that you say withdraw, and I can see merit for not withdrawing them.
Well, the problem is that SCR presumably stands for software change request, and a lot of these are software enhancement requests and system enhancement requests, and we don't have any track at all for actually requesting an enhancement to the system from the technical side. Does that have to come down through management council?
Well, it's interesting. I always thought it stood for standards change request.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, but yeah, but Ann's comment still is valid.
Right, because like SCR 1012, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says we need a service to do
small bodies node, by the way.
Yeah, we need a service. Well, that's not a standard,
no,
unless you're specifying some protocol or something.
That's right. No, that is an enhancement to the existing capabilities of the central catalog interface.
But what it had an effect on, and you're right, it's not a change to the standard, but it had an effect on the Planetary Science Data Dictionary. We have a field in there that's not in the, and I'm talking about the Sci-based Planetary Science Data Dictionary, not the PDF. I'm sorry?
The database, as opposed to any of the documentation.
That's right, yes. The pdfdd.full. We have a field in there that allows us to link to a million SDN targets,
mm-hmm.
and so this would affect the Sci-based database.
Well,
okay,
what this was actually a request for was a space, a free text field in the top-level interface, in the form interface, if you like, into the central catalog for a user to search for a target based on some substring of what they knew and a target type, if they could indicate it, so that when it came to small bodies, where there are a million names that are constantly changing, they could enter a text string and the type of comet or asteroid or even just generically small bodies. And instead of trying to resolve it in the central catalog database, it would actually hand it off to a utility at the small bodies node, which already exists, to find cross-identifications for bits of target names for small bodies. And so it really was just a request for an interface for that and to set up a generalized interface so that, for example, rings node users could indicate they're looking for rings data and enter some scrap of a target name that would get them somewhere with the rings node. It was not a request to make any changes to the central database whatsoever, merely to the interface. Now, I haven't read the documentation since Steve wrote it. I actually don't know what the actual SCR says, but that was my intention when I requested this capability.
Actually,
and I think what happened a few years ago was there were these types of requests that were out there, and the SCR process was used to capture these into some system because there was
mm-hmm.
no other system to do it.
Right.
And that's why some of these should be withdrawn as an SCR because they're not really an SCR.
Yes, and I can agree with that if there was someplace else to put the information.
Right.
And if the appropriate thing is to give a list to Mike saying, you know, here's some issues that have come up that really require the management council to initiate action of some sort, like get it on the development schedule for EN as opposed to a standard schedule for the technical group, then I'm happy to do that. I don't actually know what the process is or should be, and I actually don't know that there's a process written down.
Well, okay, and let me bring back my recollection of this because right now, every time you add a new target that appears in either the mission or wherever.
The dataset catalog file.
Yeah. We have to manually search your site, find the URL for that target within the SBN website, and populate a field in our Sci-based database to point to that page. What we were asking
mm-hmm.
was for you all to provide and something that was automated to do this for us.
Yeah, that's not what I was looking for, and that's not what I thought initiated the request.
In fact, well, that's my recollection, because you and I had this conversation about doing that, and that was some years back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So So now, see, but now the reason I say this is relevant is because Todd is right. It's not a standards change request, but it affects the Sybase Planetary Science Data Dictionary.
Okay, but see, that is your implementation of some function which is not tied to any particular standard. Now you may want to standardize something to help facilitate that, but that's not what the SCR states.
The one that I'm reading right now?
Well, I didn't
think
so.
It says that this is just a development effort that could be prioritized and scheduled accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's actually not the original development that I requested. So apparently Steve wrote, and once again, I can't see the SCR, so I don't know what it says.
Mm.
But it sounds like an SCR was written for something entirely, completely different from the enhancement we were actually looking for, which was based on user needs.
See, unfortunately, the SCR queue became kind of a to-do list for
yes.
the entire system.
Yeah, a couple of the SCRs that you have marked for withdrawn suffer from the same problem, like the target model that was submitted by Steve. Once again, this is something we discussed, but he seems to have completely missed the point of what I was asking.
Well, Anne, before you dig yourself into a hole, it says provided by Anne Rao, and
yeah,
starts off with... Don't know why there's anyone but me and Steve on this one, so this is your wording.
Yeah, I know. But once again, the text that I remember reading was not text that I wrote, and it had really nothing to do with the capability that I was actually asking for. And there's another one with exactly the same problem, and I don't know the numbers, so I'm trying to find it, but it has to do with wavelength regime. And it was another way of searching through data at the small bodies node that we wanted to see supported in the central catalog. But the solution, the SCR that was written by Steve and the solution that he proposed, once again, completely missed the mark of what I was looking for and was a very complicated way of implementing something that wouldn't have actually provided the solution anyway.
Okay. But getting back to Todd's, because I think I agree with you, Todd, that this big long queue has in fact, well, you said it right. It's no longer just software or standards change requests. It's now sort of a bit bucket of everything.
Right. And
yeah.
I think our first cut should be to kind of purge out the non-standard related things. And if we need to find a new home form, we find a new home form, but they shouldn't be in SCR.
Yep. Yeah, there are a couple of them that should be marked for, well, for example, 1017, the document software object, I think that's probably PDS-4. I think that's a discussion that needs to happen with PDS-4.
I'm sorry, which one was this?
This is number...
Oh, 1017.
Yeah, the document software object definition. The idea is to get functional document and software labels in the same way that product labels for data products are functional. They have unique identifiers that can be loaded into a database. They can then be associated with other data set collections, things like that.
Right.
Okay.
And actually, that brings up another thing that was one of my criteria to say remove it. If it's an SCR with no content,
it just
has a title,
yeah.
Is it really an SCR of any kind? I mean, it doesn't, it's a placeholder. For
yeah, it's the only thing that we have.
Well, this is a good lead-in to Dick's, because Dick has been resurrecting the document. Well, Dick and I have been trying to resurrect the documentation for this. You want to say something, Dick?
Yeah, it turns out somebody came up to Al Schultz at the PDS table at LPSC last week and said he wanted to archive some software. And so Al took his name and number. And when Al mentioned that to me, I said, you know, we were going to change the whole way we did that. So I went and looked in the standards change request list to find out what the record was and discovered exactly what you two pointed out. There's only a link in there to a higher level directory. It's basically a circular set of links. So Ron and I in the last few days have been trying to dig up what the earlier proposals were, and they pretty much come from 2001, 2002.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I may have the latest set of them hiding somewhere on a disk.
I'm not sure that's the problem. I just wanted to get something in there so that we didn't completely lose the work that we'd done before. But I think the bottom line is that is c- kind of a PDS4 project and not really a standards change request that we can deal with right now.
It's a PDS4 project. I usually start by asking people why they think they want to archive software in the first place, and then give them the long and intimidating list of things that you have to actually do in order to properly archive software.
Yeah, well, that's something. This was a crater counting piece of software that GEO probably will end up dealing with, but I just wanted to save what we'd done before that completely got lost.
Yeah.
So I think we'll try to put something into the system, but if we're going to pull PDS4 items off this SCR list, then that's one that I would recommend getting rid of.
Okay, but back to my original is, as a group, how do we want to address Todd's long list? How do we want to work through this and collectively agree what should be withdrawn, what's not appropriate for this list, what has been implemented, what is low effort, medium effort, and large effort?
Standards coordinator could take charge.
Can we wait for the real standards coordinator to take charge?
2 months from now?
Well, we certainly have things on our list.
Yeah. I'm wondering if there is actually a relatively efficient way to deal with all the things that Todd has marked for withdrawal.
Yeah. At least put them in a different bucket.
Yeah.
Well, certainly the ones that I think I've listed as recommending withdrawal from the queue, you know, we could kind of give an up or down on vote on withdrawing it after people have a chance to look at them. It's a, what is it, 1, 2?
Well,
there's
but
15.
Some of these,
there's 15
yeah.
there. That,
but some of these issues I don't want to see just disappear off the radar entirely. I'd like them to be triaged someplace else. And the ones that actually need that, it's a small number, but I don't want to lose track of them. So how do we avoid losing track of them?
Is there a possibility we could set up a system improvement request web page, kind of like the SCR web page, where we just park these things waiting for PDS4?
Yeah, I suppose what we could do is maybe introduce another status on SCRs. Once an SCR is withdrawn, it's still in the list. The 53 are ones that are submitted or have a status of submitted.
How many have a status of withdrawn?
Oh, I didn't count them, but...
Because I don't necessarily want to go looking for all of these things in a pile of withdrawn SCRs that really aren't relevant to anything anymore.
Right, and that's why I was wondering whether or not maybe the way to kind of queue it up for later is to have maybe one more status that we could attach to an SCR. That means, you know, track it or something like that, or keep it around for a while.
Is there currently defined a path for requesting enhancements to the PDS interface, for example?
Yeah, there's actually a PDS interface working group right now. I really like Dick's suggestion that when we identify something like this that really is going to be a PDS4 issue, then we need to have a pot to put it in that just says hold for PDS4 or PDS4 issues. And that we need to start identifying those.
Yeah, there's no request for system change type queue.
Yeah, systems changes right now come out of that, don't they? There is no SCR equivalent for systems change.
Right.
Management Council comes in and says, we want the system to be changed.
Right, and actually our current requirements process is to try and identify what system is wanted.
Yeah.
Okay, and we haven't yet got into a phase where we're changing an existing kind of system where you would have those types of individual requests.
But we just barely have got a draft standards process. I don't think a systems process is something we're ready for, is it, Todd?
I think this may fall into the Management Council basket. It's my recollection that there was going to be a PDS4 working group. There's also going to be a PDS4 core or a PDS core core standards working group, and I think Rita's kind of been vacuuming those all up, and I don't know really where that stands. It's all got kind of confused with the IPDA issues too. But maybe what I should do is ask Ed if he'd put something along this line on the Management Council agenda for next week. How do we start collecting PDS4 requests or requirements? And I think setting up something parallel to the SCR webpage would be the right thing to do, but it may have to be done through Management Council.
Well, the same thing for enhancement requests to the current system interface.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we're going to do a lot of enhancements until we get to PDS4, though. But, yeah, small things could be done that way.
Well, there are things that would carry over to PDS4, and I'm thinking specifically of this target name resolution service, completely unaffected by anything actually in the PDS standard. It's just a service to resolve a string to a target name and involves communicating between nodes.
Right.
By the way, there's something missing from the withdrawal list, number 31011, which doesn't appear in any of the other lists either. You also have those marked for withdrawal.
Oh, it didn't get up in the list?
No. And I don't see it on any other list either, I'm assuming.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I know.
Which one again?
It seems non-controversial, but the big problem with this is that still in the standards there exists the combined detached label. And that's what screws it up.
It's the one product, one label.
That's right.
I mean, Todd and I talked about this at SBN years ago.
Yeah. And generally the initial reaction is, well, that's what we've got, right? What's the problem? The problem is the standards still contain the combined detached label.
And that's a very useful thing to have.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
But it completely violates the one product, one label.
No, not at all. We have examples of products where one product is spread over multiple files.
Yeah, that's not what the detached combined label is.
That's
the detached combined label says it contains labels for several different products that have all just been concatenated into a single file. There's no problem with having one label that points to 1,000,006 files that are all part of the same logical product. The combined detached label says I contain labels for distinct logical products, and it screws everything up.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, Anne, that's one version of what a product is, but...
Well, exactly, and that's it. And the problem is if you want nice, clean logic for dealing with databases to package products into volumes and things like that, the combined detached label messes it up. You have to code for it specifically, and it breaks the logic of the
system. Does anybody actually put multiple products into a single label? I understand the situation where you have a single, basically, product description and you're pointing to different areas within a single file or...
Yeah, and sometimes, for example, if you think of documents as products,
right.
There will be a lot of cases where a document product will have multiple files.
Right.
And I don't have a problem with multiple files in a single product. The problem comes with multiple products having their separate labels concatenated together into a single label file.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, because how does the end statement get involved there to indicate end of label?
I don't know. I haven't looked. I don't have a copy of the standards in front of me. The end statement indicates...
I'm at the end of my label and data follows.
Yeah, but the combined detached label, well, it doesn't necessarily indicate that data follows because in a detached label, the data doesn't follow the end statement.
A simple example, you have a document. You have it in PDF form and text form and maybe ASCII. So it's got three different extensions, same file name except for the extensions. You can use one label. You get a combined detached label for those three separate files. They're all the same thing.
But that's still one product, isn't it?
Right. If you label it that way, it's
in three formats.
Yeah. It came in, I gather, in very early imaging data and in attempts to package software because nobody wants to write 1,006 individual labels for each individual software file. And so they would say, well, we'll just write all the labels into one big file because otherwise our file counts get completely out of control in these directories, and it's just the detached label, we concatenate them together. So you reach an end statement and you continue reading and there's the next label.
Well, this is somewhat off topic, but I'll tell you, just recently we were approached on can somebody do a semi-detached label, which meant that they had an attached product.
Semi-detached.
Well, no, seriously, they had an attached product and also had pointers to external data files as well, which we've never allowed. And my first thought is, why shouldn't we allow it if you can have an attached and a detached, but there's no provision for that in the standards?
Yeah, I was going to say, why? Well, yes, but there's no prohibition against it either. So the question is, do you follow the constitutional convention? In other words, is anything that is not specifically prohibited by the standards allowed by the standards? And that's generally been the interpretation that's been taken over the years for things that I have strong objections to, oddly enough.
Yeah, I would disagree with that, but only because I don't think you could write a document that would prohibit everything that people want to do.
Well, that's true, but there are certain statements that aren't in the standards documents that are now causing us trouble with interfaces with like Rosetta. For example, there is no statement in the standards document that pointers to objects of the same type must be unique. And there's also no statement in the standards document that pointers are sorted in the same order as their object definition. In fact, there's no statement that PDS labels require any sorting order at all, apart from things between object and end object and group and end group.
Well, I mean, we're off topic, way off topic, but...
Well, it was actually all part of this SCR discussion long, long ago.
Oh, okay.
But because that statement isn't in there, we're now having labels being generated by recalcitrant data preparers in the Rosetta project that may or may not actually work with any software outside of their own, depending on how various programmers have decided to interpret the lack of order requirements in PDS labels and uniqueness of pointers.
Well, back to my original...
Fascinating me, because I thought standards told you what you could do, not they're not bodies of law that say these are the things you'll be punished for if you do it.
Exactly.
It's the complement of it. So the interpretation that says, you know, well, the standard doesn't say I can't do this, therefore I can do it, doesn't seem to go along with what a standard is. That seems like an odd point of view.
Yes,
but
and
that's
I try to convince them. But they're odd people. What can you do?
Oh, I know.
Okay, but back to my original, and I'm more than happy to go through this list and try and, but as I went through them just on the withdrawn, I pretty much said no in terms of withdrawing. I said no, because I really think that they have some utility. Now, they may not be have an effect, a direct effect on the standards reference. The one in here is from Chuck Acton, 1050. We should probably contact him and see if it's still an issue with him. 1090 is sort of an interesting one, if you can get access to the website. But, again, I'm more than happy to go through this list, or maybe, Todd, you and I can go through the list together, and because we might have some different opinions on this. See,
I thought 1080 was just voted by the Management Council.
Oh, no, sorry, I said 1080, but I corrected to 1050.
Okay. Oh, 1050.
Yeah, 1050 was submitted by Chuck Acton.
Remove unzipped software from zip archives.
Yeah. So we might want to contact him and see if this is still an issue.
Some of these we might actually be able to check by just comparing what's in the current standards appendix regarding zipped archives. It requires unzipped software to be supplied. Well, that's kind of silly. We're not in the business of porting zip software, and one piece of software does not work on all systems.
Yeah.
So that withdraw, yeah, if that's what it actually says, and either it says that in the standards, and we should fix the standards to not say that, or it doesn't say that in the standards, and we should withdraw the SDR.
Yeah, so 1060 has been withdrawn. At least that's what it says on the website. So that's a no-brainer, right?
It actually isn't on the list of descriptive names, so I don't know.
Oh.
What is 1060?
I have to scroll up. 1060 is update archive status standard values saved to saved. That was submitted by Elizabeth in late 06, and it says withdrawn.
as a status. So I'm not sure why it was withdrawn. But
I think it was done, but I honestly can't remember, and I can't easily check.
Okay. Archive status is saved. Yeah, that was done.
The V as opposed to
yeah.
an
F.
So it was implemented?
Yeah.
Well, why does it say withdrawn? Never mind. Moving on.
There's
it was in a happy mood to withdraw everything.
Okay, but 1090 has an effect on the standard.
That must be a typo in my list of withdrawn because it's not in the list of summaries.
Oh, okay.
I take that back. I'm wrong on that. It's still safe in the data dictionary. It's safe, but we were using.
Is it a disconnect between the description and the standard value list?
Well, again, not so that we go through these so
could
much
be.
As
yeah.
come up with a plan of how to address them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should have been 1061 instead of 1060.
Oh, 1061?
Yeah. It's a typo in the summary list.
Cool. Okay.
But anyway, those are important things to resolve, too, misidentifying an SCR.
Yeah.
But, I guess we could go through it. I would think that if someone else were to go through and make maybe a similar determination, withdraw or not withdraw, or just stick with what I recommend is withdraw.
You know what? I'm still stuck at home with not a lot of work I can do apart from listening to telecons, but I brought copies of the standards reference with me, and I can see some of these things. How about if I go through the list of things you have for withdrawal, because a lot of them involve SVN issues, embarrassingly
okay.
enough, and give a recommended triage status that we can then argue about at the next meeting.
Sounds good to me.
Because I can go and look things up in the standards while I've got it here and try to remind myself of what the state of the discussion was of some of these things that I was involved in the early working groups. And
right.
and it seems to be a disproportionate number of these things. So it might be easier for me to do at least the first cut than anybody else.
Right. Because I'm very interested in hearing other people's perspective on individual SCRs, whether they're important, not important, what should the state be.
Okay, now moving on to a new topic. Thanks, Anne.
Sure.
We're running a little short on things to discuss. If we do both of these by email vote, we sort of closing out the 1073, the archive status, replacing it with another. Are there other SCRs that are high on people's agenda to discuss in the coming weeks?
Well, if I'm going to look through the withdrawn ones, could everybody else look through everything else and, like, pick a top one or two that they're concerned about?
That's a good idea.
And send it to me by email?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is any consensus on things that are really important, or if it seems like we're just sort of all over the board and we should divide it up based on who's available to work on what in the next couple weeks?
Okay. Dick, you want to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say we might have something to discuss on the standards process in a couple of weeks.
True.
But I don't have a whole lot of time to put in on other things. In fact, I've got to leave in 2 minutes to go join another conference call.
And there may be things that come out of the Management Council next week that will suddenly jump to the front of the queue for various reasons as well. I don't know what their agenda is. So.
And speaking of that, should I ask for some guidance on how to handle new services and upgrades for PDS4?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Well, and could you divide the question?
Yeah.
Things that are specifically and clearly PDS4 versus things that are interface issues and not necessarily standards issues. Enhancement requests for things that are not necessarily technical standards
either.
Requests for changes, but things like the target name resolving service and internode communication. There aren't many of them, but
yeah, the other option would be to let Ron report to Dan and for Dan to put in it in his report. But I think it might get Management Council's attention a little bit better if it were done separately, because what Dan usually talks about is status of a dozen different working groups. And I think this is one that Management Council might legitimately take more interest in as a policy question, because it does relate to PDS4.
Okay, good.
If there are no objections, I'll ask Ed if he can put that on and see if I can get 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'm still concerned about things that aren't related to the standards being lumped in with PDS4.
Okay. Are we going to meet in 2 weeks? Is that a good agenda for everybody? Good time?
Works for me. I don't know about others.
Okay.
The April 4th, and so far that's okay.
Cool.
I guess one thing maybe that you could do, Ron, is, you know, there were three items that I think the status is incorrect on.
Yeah, I saw that.
And you might even say those that were currently under voting have incorrect status. But those would move out of the submitted queue if you simply updated the status to what their current status really is.
Yeah, updating the status is a huge ball of wax, believe it or not.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's what I said, too, when I started doing all of this. But, yeah. Okay, so I can look at them. So even the ones that we're currently voting on are out of whack?
Well, I don't know. Maybe not now. I guess at the time, I did the list. Some of them were. But there's three old ones that were either voted on or something was acted on them, and they still show as submitted.
Oh, okay. Well, if you find these, please email me. Cause
They're in that list. I can give them to you right now if you want to write them down.
I see the one that says change status, right?
Yeah.
That's the one I was
1070, 1071, and 1080.
Right.
I think the status is incorrect on them.
Cool. Bye, Dick. okay, cool. Yeah.
Give us some bragging rights, you know. We got this many off the queue. Simply by changing the status. But.
And I do like your idea of putting maybe another column in here that say what is affected by the SDR, whether it's standards. I'm not sure exactly if it's, you know, like a cumulative list. Standards and PSDD and product and profile servers and all this other stuff.
Well, in my mind, it breaks down into, I think it was four lists.
Mm.
Documentation.
Mm.
That includes the standards documentation, of course. interface inside the PDS, and that would be things like the PDSDD.full, the release object, the housekeeping object. interface to missions, things that we have to be able to tell missions about data preparation that they can believe for the next 5 years.
Hmm.
And then interface to other agencies, like the Planetary Science Archive that ESA is putting together, the ADS service where we send our data so that the public can find it through that service, that sort of thing. So the lower you go in that list, the more cavalier we can be about changing things because it affects only the people who are actually involved in the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
The higher level you go, the more you have a danger of affecting somebody without them having any warning that a change is coming, and it makes us look bad to people outside the organization.
So where does the PSDD and software all fall in that? Is that interfaces in the PDS?
Yeah, I think of that as internal interfaces, although we may have to elevate the PSDD.full file to external, depending on decisions that are being made about the IPDA and how closely they're going to follow our data dictionary for dealing with their data. So that's one of those little red flag things we're going to have to keep an eye on as that development effort goes forward.
So if you were to write an SDR, which is really not an SDR by our own discussion.
Previous definitions, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is actually part of the discussion that we're having with Dick that I've been unfortunately very quiet on so far. I've been thinking about it, but I haven't been reading the various versions that have been going back and forth.
Yeah.
But I think this is part of the stuff that Dick and Mitch and I should be, and you should be talking about with respect to prioritizing.
That's right. Now that Dick is gone, vote for mine.
Well, it might be that it branches off and ends up going to another working committee. We may have to assign it off, but it's something that we should probably think about with respect to that and maybe write some thoughts down and pass it on to whatever the appropriate policy-making body ends up being.
Okay, great.
Yeah, basically, I was thinking to myself the past couple of days as I've been laying around on the floor staring at the ceiling, how I would prioritize incoming SDRs. And there's actually two sets of criteria based on how urgently the change is needed and who it actually affects if we make the change, which probably has absolutely nothing to do with any of the logic that's in the stuff you guys have been writing. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I will read that in the next couple of days.
I mean, in the past, it's always been sort of a mission priority, right?
Well, generally what we get, and this is not the way to run a standards party, really, is missions decide they absolutely have to have something that works their way and seems to sort of go in with the PDS standards. And so we get a request from a mission to change the standards to fit what it is they want to do. And then, because that's not the way you should run a standards organization, we argue about it long enough that the mission then says, well, we just assumed you would do this, and now we've done it, and now you're stuck with it, and then it becomes critical. I'm not a big fan of that way of doing things, as you may recall from previous pirates. But PDS is getting more clout with U.S. missions, and we get less of that from U.S. missions now. On the other hand, we're becoming more visible to ESA, where the attitudes towards archiving organizations and being able to share data are, in some cases, ahead of the U.S., and in other cases, and it seems to fall on national borders, very much behind the U.S. attitude about sharing data that's acquired using public funding.
Mm. Okay. All righty. Anything else we want to talk about? I'll set the meeting for April 4th. Maybe if we're lucky, Elizabeth will be back. I wouldn't.
Really? Has it been 3 months already?
She had her baby. That was a good start, right?
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's always a good sign. On time.
Things go well for her?
You know, I haven't really heard. All we sort of got is a little terse email saying, baby born, female, and some some metadata.
Some metadata.
Which would be in the catalog for the next release.
It was a PDS label. Did I mention that?
Yes. It should have been a data set release object.
That made me laugh anyway. Okay.
We're doing a lot of housekeeping, so we should put it there instead.
That's true. And the status would be delivered. So there you go.
Okay.
I think that was only about 3 weeks ago, Ron, so keep hoping, you know.
Yeah, I didn't think it had been a 3 month leave yet, although
hopefully it'll make it into the catalog by the time it gets to college.
There you go. All righty, anything else?
Not that I could think of.
Okay, thanks. I'll put out meeting minutes, hopefully.
Okay.
You have a good one.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.